Here they come, Austin whispered. Stay down, stay quiet. The voices grew louder, accompanied by the shuffling of hundreds of feet. At first, the sound was like a choir of sobbing voices. The infinite sadness of the sound broke Mia's heart. The people outside would kill her, she had no doubt about that. But listening to them, they were pitiful, to be pitied, horrified, sad, tired. Individual voices emerged from the din as some walked past the small convenience store.
I can't stop it, a man said to himself. Why can't I stop it? God!
Between sobs, a woman spoke.
The blood.
Her body shook.
All that blood.
Several more people spoke in other languages, some easily recognizable, French, Japanese, German, but others sounded older, and some Native American, or at least what Mia thought sounded like Native American.
I'm so sorry, a woman said.
Everyone in the room tensed. The voice belonged to Vanderwarf. She and White had joined the mob. Two more voices, two more mournful killers in the army. Liz covered her ears, blocking out the voices. Her elbow struck a can of soup on the bottom shelf. It only fell a few inches before striking the linoleum floor. But to the group hiding behind the food aisle, it sounded like a gunshot. Tension knotted Austin's back as he slowly peeked around the end of the aisle. The orange sky flickered outside the store, darker than before, as night fell. But that didn't hold his interest. Standing at the window, fingers interlocked in the metal links of the barrier, was Vanderwarf. Her eyes locked on his. Those beautiful eyes. Those full lips. Both expressed immense sadness.
I'm sorry, she said.
Slowly she began shaking the barrier.
I'm so sorry.
The shaking became violent, attracting attention.
No,
someone shouted.
Run away,
said someone else.
Make it stop.
The shaking grew louder as more bodies joined the assault. A loud squeak of metal on linoleum shot through the store. The front door. Austin bolted out from his hiding position and threw himself at the blockade. A group on the other side was pushing it in. Garbarino joined him, wanting nothing more than to shoot a few rounds into the group outside, but worrying that would attract even more attention. Right now, there were 10 people outside. But in the distance he could see hundreds more shuffling through the flattened ghost town. Paul joined them a moment later.
What's the plan?
Austin grunted, pushing against the heavy barricade. Find the back door. Be ready to run. Paul nodded and returned to the back of the store.
What about the roof?
Garbarino asked.
They'd starve us out, Austin said. We need to move.
We could pick them off one at a time.
Not enough ammo, Austin said.
A jolt pushed them both back a few inches. They were losing the fight.
Besides, they come back to life after, what, 60 seconds?
Garbarino placed his feet against the checkout counter and shoved hard.
Good point.
Paul found the back door, Mia said from behind the aisle. Didn't hear anyone back there, but he hasn't opened it yet either.
Don't open it, Austin shouted.
If just one person made it in the back, they'd be screwed.
Get everyone ready. When you hear the gunshots, open the door and run. We'll be right behind you.
What about Dwight? Mia asked.
The man's a serial killer, Austin said.
Garbarino nodded. They were thinking the same thing.
Fuck 'em.
Mia nodded and slid back behind the aisle, coordinating with the others and moving them toward the back of the store.
So what's the plan, eh?
Garbarino said.
Pop a few of them in the face and make for the hills?
That's about it, Austin said. Garbarino offered a nervous smile.
Works for me. On three?
Austin nodded. One.
Two.
A roar blasted through the store like a foghorn. The muscles in Austin's and Garbarino's arms and legs turned to jello, but the door didn't budge. The sound had effects on the mob, too. For a moment. Both sides regained control of their bodies at the same time. The people at the door pushed. Austin and Garbarino stayed focused.
Three.